the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Read an interesting story about a man who lived in Long Island, New York. One day, he bought himself a very, very fine barometer. When the instrument arrived at his home, you know, you can get these really fancy ones. That's probably what this was. He was extremely disappointed in it because the needle appeared to be stuck on the thing. And it just stayed there, marked hurricane, and that was it. It just bugged him after shaking it and trying to get it to work right. It wouldn't work. And he sat down and wrote a letter to the company. Following morning, on his way to work, he mailed the letter. And when he returned home that night, his barometer was gone and his house was gone. There was a hurricane. He wasn't paying attention. He wasn't taking the information that had been given to him and doing something with it. That's what was happening to some of the people that this book was written about. They had been given a barometer of the Word of God, and for some reason, some of them were not listening anymore, or they were thinking about turning away. And they were asking questions because of the difficulties that came their way because of their profession of faith in Christ. They were saying, you know, does God really care? Does he really care? Where is God? Am I right in following Jesus or not? And so in chapter 1, he says, Jesus is better than and more complete than all of the other revelation since God has given from the beginning of time. He's the last word. Chapter 2, Jesus is better than the angels, so important for the Jewish people. Chapter 3, better than Moses, one of your Old Testament heroes. Chapter 4, better than the Sabbath, the rest that you find in Jesus is better than that. And in chapter 5, Jesus is better than the Old Testament priesthood. All the priests, which were still in that day in Jerusalem, going through their functions, Jesus is better than that. He's better than that. They were in a dangerous position, these people that were given this letter. They had professed salvation. A number of them had been saved. They knew the basics, but they weren't moving on. They weren't moving on. And so the writer to the book of Hebrews kind of expresses his concern. This chapter, from chapter 5 and in through chapter 6, is one of the most solemn, scary chapters in all of the Bible. Let's read some of it. If you'll follow along quietly as I read aloud, he wanted to begin to talk to them about Melchizedek in chapter 5, verse 10. But he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, but hard to be uttered, since ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he said, let's get going. The next chapter is all about let's get going. And there are some fearful verses in this chapter 6. Wow. Look at verse 4. I'm going to deal with this tonight, not this morning. But it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Oh my, scary verses. And by the way, Ironside said about this passage of Scripture, no part of the word that has stumbled immature and uninstructed Christians more than this one. Not that the scripture stumbles people, but they stumble over these truths. And there have been some saints of God who struggled. And maybe I trampled underfoot the Jesus, and maybe I did this, and maybe I did that. And I think it's so wonderful that right next to these fearful verses are the ones that we dealt with last week. You know, by two immutable things, verse 18, which was an impossible for God to lie. You have a strong consolation. God swears by himself, if you're trusting Jesus, you're okay forever. So we'll get into that tonight. But this morning I want to talk to you about the dangers of not moving on in your Christian life. Not moving on. They were immature saints. Let me give you from the scripture a description of immaturity. An immature Christian is going to have a lack of receptiveness to the Word of God. Look at verse 11, if you would, please, of chapter 5. We've got lots to tell you, he says, but then they're hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Things that are hard to explain, not because they're that difficult, but because of the people that are having to be enlightened. They're dull of hearing. And so basically what he's saying is it's not the preacher's fault that they're not understanding this. Hooray for a change. It's not the preacher's fault, you know. Like the lady who, the family who was hosting a pastor. He was coming to town to preach revival message that night, whatever. And he came about 4 o'clock, whatever, at their house. And she had a nice big meal for him and everything. And he said, no, ma'am, I can't preach well if I eat. I have to eat after. So, okay, fine. So they went to church that night. And about 10 minutes into the message, the lady leaned over her husband and said he might just as well have eaten. That wasn't the problem here. That wasn't the problem here. That wasn't it. It was different. The problem wasn't with the preacher. The problem was with the listeners. It's like the little boy who asked, why does the pastor, every time, right before he gets up to preach, he bows his head? And his mama said, well, he does that because he's asking God to give him a good sermon. And the little boy says, mama, why doesn't God answer his prayer? That wasn't the problem here. The problem was with the listener. All right? They were dull of hearing. It was almost as if they had a learning disability that was self-imposed. It was willful. Dull literally means no push, no real interest. It's used in classical Greek to describe a sick lion that can't move his legs anymore. Wow. Some professing Christians are like that. I hope that we don't have them here, but just in case. The dullness that they had was not due to lack of mental ability. It was spiritual stupor. It was the problem was not with the IQ, the intelligence quotient. The problem was with the SQ, spiritual quotient. And you know what? I thought about this. And I thought, how frustrating could it be, because we're talking about people that are dull of hearing, and if there's anybody here that like that, they're not going to hear what I say. Unless somehow the Lord God works in their heart. Let's talk about it just a little bit more. Description of immaturity, lack of receptiveness to the Word of God. That's why the Scripture repeatedly talks about, be careful about how you hear the Word. Hebrews 2:1, ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. 3:7, the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. 3:15, today if you will hear his voice. Hebrews 4:7, today if you will hear his voice. Don't harden your heart. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the churches, and at the end of each letter, it's not an invitation to the whole church, it's an invitation to each individual. He that hath hear, let him hear. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus talked about the parable of the soils, the different kinds of soil, and he says, take heed therefore how you hear, how you listen. It's important for Christian people to be careful how they listened to the word of God preached. Danger. Maybe we ought to put a sign out here on the marquee. Danger preaching inside. There is a danger there for people who are dull of hearing. The preaching wasn't, I understand once in a while, maybe more often than I realize, I preach one that's not quite as exciting or whatever, and you go, "What?" I understand that, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about how you feed on the Word of God as it is given to you from the pulpit. What do you do with it? If Sunday school and the morning service and the evening service and Wednesday prayer time is yawn time, an opportunity to snooze a little bit, or maybe check your email on your, you can do that, and some folks think you're looking up the Bible verse. You're not either. You're reading your email. If that's the kind of hearing, some of you are smiling. Is that what you've done? Boy, you know what? If I were a prophet, I would say, God told me that. So I'm not going to do that, though, because I'm not a prophet. I'm just human. And I know human beings, we are our own worst enemies sometimes. Are we not? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Years ago, way, way back in the 17th century, Pastor Richard Baxter, he was an author and pastor, preacher, went to jail for preaching the Word of God. They described his evangelistic preaching this way. They said, "The Puritan evangelist removed every shred and piece of self-righteousness from the sinner. He stripped him bare, took away his armor, left him naked in the sight of God." Wow, he was a preacher. Boy, he shucked the corn when he got up there. Well, this guy also had a sermon or wrote a treatise called Directions for Profitable Hearing the Word Preached. He actually preached a sermon on how to listen to sermons. And here's what he said. Quote, "Make it your work. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you are hearing it. Cast not all upon the minister as those that will go no further than they are carried as by force." You know what that means? Don't depend on the preacher to bless you. You have to work to do as well as the preacher and should all the time be as busy as he is. Oh, I'm going to go to Pizza Hut after church tonight. Anyway, No. You have to work as you listen, he says. "You must open your mouths and digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work and abhor an idle heart and hearing as well as an idle minister." Abhor an idle heart. You know what that means? That means, brother, turn the AC up so it'll get colder in here so folks won't go to sleep. It means focus your attention on the preaching of the word. By the way, we have a new app on our things now. We can do that. I can sit here and I can, it's really neat, these things. I can turn the AC on right from here. Boy, I tell you. You know, listen, he's saying that we shouldn't be laissez-faire. Laissez-faire. You know, here's the thing. People come to church week after week. They sit back in their pew. They've come from a week of absorbing the glitter and the tinsel of the world. They come to church and they sit there and they say, "Bless me if you can, brother." And that's it. That's exactly what he's talking about here. These people were not actively listening to the word of God preached. They were not chewing on the word as it was preached. Week after week after week. They're spectators, but they're not participants. According to one heart specialist, he said, when it comes to physical exercise, when we become a spectator rather than a participant, wrong things go up and wrong things go down. He says, when we become spectators, body weight goes up, blood pressure goes up, heart rate, cholesterol, all the bad stuff, all that goes up. And then vital capacity, oxygen consumption, flexibility, stamina, all those go down. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. It's the same thing. When people are merely participants, or rather just watching, spectators rather than participants, what happens? The wrong things go up and the wrong things go down. What goes up? Criticism, discouragement, disillusionment, boredom. What goes down? Sensitivity to sin. Sensitivity to the needs of others. All those go down. So these people, because of their lack of aggressive listening to the word, they became useless, which is the second characteristic of a baby Christian. Lack of usefulness. Lack, first of all, of receptiveness to the word, actively listening, and then second, lack of usefulness. Verse 12, what it says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." You guys ought to be teachers, but you can't. Well, not everybody is to be a teacher. We know that, but that's not what this is talking about. You know, in the book of Colossians, it says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." That was not written to the theological seminary boys. That was written to the church at Colossae. And it was saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And when it is dwelling in you richly, you are going to be a channel of God's blessing to other people. You just will. But the problem with these folks and the problem with many dear Christian people is that their lives are not filled with the book, and therefore their lives are not overflowing with the book. The word of Christ is not dwelling in them richly. They just come and they listen, pat themselves on the back. I went to church today and I'm good. And I popped a 5 in the offering plate, you know, and that's it. No. Much more than that. Much, not the money part, but the activity of being strongly encouraged to listen. This is not talking about formal teaching. You guys, he's saying, you ought to be able to minister to other people when they have, I don't know what to do about it. Talk to the preacher. I can't help you. That's the condition you're in, and you shouldn't be. You should be in the condition, well, let me help you with this. Let's take a look at the scripture and see what the scripture has to say about your challenge and your problem. Anything but the teaching of the word and the preaching of the word is more exciting. Now, I've made a list here. And I plan with my list to offend just everybody, okay? So hurry up and get over it. Many born-again Christians, they know the Lord as Savior and they're trying to walk with God. They get excited about moral issues in America. They get excited about political issues in America. You talk about it, and it starts coming out. Well, if you've been here long enough, you know I'm to the right of Reagan probably or someplace. I don't know. But the point is this. What comes out of your mouth all the time? Just that? In case you don't know it, everybody in Fox News is not a born-again fundamental Baptist. In case you don't know that. But you'd think that some fundamental Baptists are one with Fox News. I'm not criticizing them. I told you I was going to offend everybody here for just a minute, so I will. We can get energized about politics. We can get energized about elections. But what about being energized by the Word of God? Hardly got to my list yet. Pinterest. You fellas don't even know what that is, do you? You don't need to know. You don't want to know. It's useless. It's worthless. Not really. It isn't. The ladies like Pinterest. That's fine. How many of you ladies like Pinterest? Confess. Look at all those hands all over. And some of the rest of you are lying. I know you are. Pinterest. America Ninja Warrior. That's for the boys. Or maybe the girls too. What about What about, cows, tractor pulls? I'm not against any of these things. Skiing, self-defense, Second Amendment. It seems that some Christians are full of those things and excited about them. But they're not full of the Scripture and excited about the things of God. That's a sign of immaturity. I'm not saying we shouldn't be excited about those things. I'm saying that those things should not be the hub of our lives. They should be some of the spokes. But for many Christians, biblical Christianity and their walk with God is just one of the spokes, and something else is in the middle, and it's not the big things of God. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Being persecuted in one verse, I'm going to flee to the next. Lack of interest in the Word. Lack of usefulness, blessing to other people. And then third, lack of discernment. Verses 12 and 13. Verse 13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, though even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. Lack of discernment. Not skillful in discerning what is good. You know what a baby does? You know what a toddler does? You can put anything on the floor or in the toilet and a toddler will go pick it up and eat it. Immaturity, not understanding. You know that's true. They'll go pick up something in the backyard, put it in their mouth. A lot of Christians are doing the very same thing. They're not discerning the things in this culture that are harmful to their spiritual life. And as a result of that, their lives and the blessing that could emanate from them is being muted and shaded. So many things, people tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine because they're not really interested in digging in and actively. That's the sign of an immature Christian. You know, a good farmer can look at a crop of corn or beans and immediately see whether it's good or bad. I just drive by and think, what is that? Is that beans or what is that? But a good farmer, he knows. A good chef can smell a piece of meat, say it's bad before anybody else would know that it's bad. Some of these college students, they move off to college. The only reason they know something's bad, they open the refrigerator and it's green and there's stuff growing on it, you know. Not a chef. A chef, immediately he knows why, because he's had his senses exercised. He knows what's good and what's bad. An immature Christian does not do that in the spiritual life, and as a result of that, he finds himself in a very, very precarious position that's very dangerous. My question to you today is this. Do you actively listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word? Do you find yourself being useful to other people, or are you an island to yourself and you just get weekly visits from the pulpit for your little spoonful? Are you actively thinking, praying, musing over the Word and applying it to your life? Are you taking things into your spiritual mouth that are really not good for you? Is Sunday school and church always dull? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Are you a spectator? Or are you a participant? Wow. We're going to have a baptism.